there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back, listeners, to another Horror for the Holidays stocking stuffer. I'm Jeff Searcy.
Oh, and I'm Jay Logsdon. I'm just going to stand with my dick near this large MRI machine that's running.
Don't do it, Jay. You have so many piercings.
Nothing bad will happen.
No. Jay, you don't know how this works, do you? You see, Jay, you were never supposed to be born.
Oh, shit. And now I'm bloodline.
You've reached your final destination in this bloodline. I said the thing.
Yep.
Now you can die.
All right.
Well, that was one of the most entertaining kills for me. Obviously. Spoilers right out the gate.
Yeah. Sorry to anyone who was expecting no spoilers right off the bat. Dude gets sucked dick first into an MRI machine.
I mean,
what a way to go.
It's a Final Destination movie, so it's not really spoiling it. You know people are going to get killed in crazy ways.
My favorite thing. There were lots of favorite things.
So many things.
I don't know if I can pick one.
Honestly, this one was pretty much felt like a love letter to the Final Destination franchise and a send off for Tony Todd. That was also interesting.
That was very emotional.
Yes. But it kind of felt like the first Halloween reboot, the good one.
Yep.
And the first Scream reboot. It kind of felt in a similar vein to that, like the doing tributes to all the movies that came before it, but still doing enough cool and interesting to make it a fun movie to watch.
One thing I do love, I don't know if you've been on top of this, the actor who plays the guy who gets sucked dick first into the MRI machine, because I'm going to keep talking about that kill. I'm going to talk. That might be my new favorite Final Destination kill.
I had that. There's one kill later on in the movie. I don't know if we're going to spoil the ending or not.
I think we might spoil the whole movie.
Yeah.
Or as much of it as we can remember to spoil. But my favorite kill was, or my favorite thing is that actor's favorite Final Destination kill is the kid getting squished by the pane of glass in Final Destination 2.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And he brings it up every opportunity he gets.
Nice.
Not only that kill, but also that it's his favorite.
Well, it's always nice to have actors that actually care about the franchise.
Yep.
I don't know. This has got to be the premonition scene in this is like up there with the best premonitions.
Oh, no. It's great. It's fantastic. I loved the premonition. I thought that was great. I've seen TikToks from multiple theaters of people cheering when the kid gets squished by the piano. Fuck that kid.
Yep.
That fucking piece of
penny shit. Penny tossing bitch.
Does turn out in the credits, as the credits roll and the penny's rolling down the timeline.
Yep.
There is a newspaper clipping that says like pickpocket squished by piano truck. And nice. So it's like even after getting saved, he still gets killed by a piano.
Good. See, death knows what he's doing.
Oh, that fucking kid. But yeah, excellent, excellent, like, inciting incident kill. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
No, it was right up there with the best ones. And I mean, we're going to see a couple of the best ones later on as well.
And one of my favorites was when they're like, let's take the stairs. And they run out and people just start running down, like, as the staircase collapses. And you just watch people just running into their doom, yes. Like lemmings running off a cliff.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were unhappy with it because it's supposedly changing the lore. And I was like, the lore was pretty much just barely established before.
What lore did it change?
It's saying that because they said that it can't be passed on, because the whole plot of 2 or whatever is if she has her baby that the curse will be broken.
But those people weren't paying attention to 2. That's not what happens in 2.
Yes.
The baby is born, doesn't matter. It's the fact that she dies and then gets like she stops breathing, she drowns and then gets brought back with like a defibrillator.
Yeah.
Like That is the thing. The thing about a baby being born, no, that's yes. never that's never but decided in this.
That's what they're hinging their argument on, is that shouldn't bloodline shouldn't work based on the previous
movies. Well, then they should have fucking watched 2 better. Because I also thought that was the case. And then I rewatched 2 and I went, oh, I was way wrong.
Well, you know, Jay, people can't rewatch movies. Once a movie's come out, it's gone forever.
But yeah, I fuck it. And if you've seen the trailers or if you've seen some of like the teaser stuff, mm-hmm. the, you know,
one of my favorites was the backyard barbecue setup.
Yeah, I was going to say it. you get this great scene in this backyard barbecue, and you can kind of see that whole scene online pretty much of like this family getting together. They're having this big family celebration, and then it's just like a series, you know, it's the fucking Rube Goldberg machine yep. of like, you know, a glass gets broken and some glass winds up into the cup, and then you're thinking, oh fuck, someone's gonna drink the glass and die. Nope, they don't do that.
Oh, the number of fake outs in this movie is great.
And they say, the glass and stuff with that one reminded me of the high beam kill or whatever in is it 5? I think it's 5. The gymnastics kill, because it's like, you keep thinking, oh, someone's going to like step on this nail and it doesn't happen. But it's just like the tension keeps building of like, oh.
Yep. No, I mean, this movie does a great job of that. It does a great job of mixing in comedy to it, like all Final Destination movies do. Well,
I thought this was the funniest Final Destination movie.
I was going to say, this one takes it to another level. And of course, we alluded to it earlier, but send off for Tony Todd's character and just Tony Todd in general.
So apparently he got to write his own final like monologue. And I thought that was like, he knew he was sick. He knew this would probably be his last movie. And so like basically gets to say like both says goodbye to the movie, but says goodbye to the audience. And I teared up. I'm not going to lie. Like RIP Tony Todd, one of the best. Like,
yeah, no, I couldn't really find too much to criticize about this movie. It was enjoyable to watch. I mean, hopefully that's the bare minimum you should expect with a Final Destination movie, is it's entertaining. But this one was just legitimately good.
Weather vane through the face.
Oh yeah.
Fucking lawnmower to the head.
Yes.
Fucking garbage truck to the entire body.
Well, and let's just talk about it. They think that they've escaped death, because they all do. But some people get logged in this, Jay.
Yep.
They got logged.
We get a couple. Once again, a thing I loved about Final Destination 5 was the kind of like, there's a handful of references to the other Final Destination movies. And I think those are done kind of as a, because, you know, the big twist in 5 is that it's actually a prequel to the original. Mm-hmm. You get like a couple scenes with log trucks. You know, they bring up Flight 180 there, you know, earlier on. I mean, the Flight 180 thing actually comes back, but they bring up like flying to Paris. Oh, ha, Final Destination 1. Mm-hmm. But the train, even like the Lisa Loeb girl, has the devil roller coaster, like picture on her desk. Like I rode the Satan coaster or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like, I love those homages. This is full of little homages to the other movies. And then, yeah, two people get crushed by logs a la Final Destination 2.
Yes.
That fucking penny, I'll tell you what.
But yeah, you should see this one. See it in the theater so you can see the cool Rube Goldberg machine kills on the big screen. It's worth going to see.
The thing, and this is something I've been actually kind of hoping to bring up, and it actually kind of got resolved today. The creators or the directors basically came out and said, no, there's no way that this movie is connected to the other Final Destination kills. Because I was seeing people online being like, oh, one of the people on Flight 180, let's just say like a random person, let's say the French teacher that gets on the plane. He was actually part of the bloodline, and he was on that, and he got on that plane, but because he was always destined to die on that plane, but death sent Alex a premonition to save him. What? Why the fuck would Death be wanting to save one person?
Yeah.
Like, there's no indication that's what happens.
Death has never saved anyone, so that seems out of character.
And so Death wants to save Alex, but then because Alex saved more people than Death wants to kill Alex, like, it didn't make any sense, but people kept being like, oh no, it's all connected. And then the creators of Final Destination Bloodlines came out and said, no, none of this is connected. We didn't want this to, we wanted this to be its own movie. And I think part of the idea was, because all these people are saying this, that means there's going to be no more Final Destination movies. I think that was part of the kind of the, like, what people were saying, like, because the way they're describing it, oh no, it all relates back to the Skyview. And if the Skyview disaster didn't happen, then none of the other Final Destination deaths would have happened, or if they had all died there, then none of the other movies would have happened. And the people are like, no, that's not, no, this is just its own horrific incident that just that does its own thing. And I was glad they just came out and they basically told all these people to shove their stupid ideas. Cause I was really getting annoyed with, like, all these people desperately trying to connect all the movies together.
Well, you know, Jay, anytime there's more than one movie in a series, there's people out there trying to connect them.
And like, I don't know. My biggest issue was, like, why do you want this to kind of wrap up the entire Final Destination franchise? Like, no, let there be more Final Destination movies.
I mean, honestly, there's pretty much infinite possibilities. I'm still curious to see one of the original concepts for this was a cruise liner get saved from sinking, and then there's like 500 people on there who all have to be caught up with. That might be interesting.
And I'd heard a high rise apartment complex catches fire.
Yep.
Which is more, I think, a little more similar to this. Laugh lines. I just remembered another one of my favorites when the radio starts malfunctioning as people are falling out of the Skyview, and it's the radio like malfunctions. It's raining men as people are just getting turned to red jello, yes, like on the ground below.
That is pretty funny. How big an audience did you see it with?
There weren't that many people. I was hoping there'd be some more. There were probably. It was one of the bigger theaters at Cinemark. Mm. There were maybe 15 people there.
Yeah, similar for me. Not a whole lot of people there.
Like, I would have loved to have seen it with like a packed house. Like the amount of I was cracking up at a lot of the jokes, but I think like other people were there too. But like, I think it would have been so much better if like people had been laughing their asses off with, like I said, dick first into an MRI machine.
Like I said, that kill's really stuck with me. The log kill stuck with me from the end, just because that log truck, I think, traumatized an entire generation of people from driving behind log trucks.
Yep. And they brought it back.
Just traumatize a whole new generation, Jay.
Oh, but favorite character?
I don't know if I could pick just one. That's the problem.
That's the thing. They were all great. They were all fantastic.
Say, in a movie like this with such a strong ensemble cast, I don't know if I could. Honestly, the dad, the family patriarch at the backyard barbecue, the amount of times he almost fake out dies, and that, and the way that he's completely oblivious to all of it. I just love that.
The younger son, the one with the peanut allergy.
I thought he
was great.
He was good. Of course, the tattoo artist / aspiring musician / your normal punk.
I loved the when it turns out that spoilers once again. I love when it turns out that his dad isn't actually his dad, so that's why he's safe from death. And it's like, oh no, it was secretly so and so. And he's like, is that why he was always trying to play catch with me? That got a huge laugh in my. But yeah, it was fantastic. I loved the like, oh, those kids could kick the soccer ball, which causes the leaves to blow into your face, which causes this. And then, and he's like, yeah, like, like that'll happen. And then that immediately happens to the sister.
Yes. And it did.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. I don't want to spoil everything that happens in it. We've already talked about some major things. It's worth seeing. I'll say that. A lot of these movies you could probably wait for streaming, but I would see this on the big screen.
Yeah, I think this is a go see it. I don't even think this is a wait to get this in your Christmas stocking.
Yeah, no.
Go see this if you can. Like,
yeah, I'd get out and see it.
Absolutely, this is a if I found this in my stocking on Christmas morning, I'd be very happy excited. With it.
honestly, I like it, but I'm also kind of pissed off because now my complete collection of Final Destinations is incomplete.
Do you want to do a quick ranking of the Final Destination movies?
Sure, we could do that. Well, 4, I think, is probably at the bottom for me.
All right.
What about you? What's your bottom?
Oh, honestly, probably 3.
Oh, 3.
So my favorite kill, my favorite kill prior to the dick first MRI machine, was the tanning bed kill. I think the tanning bed kill is absolutely fantastic.
That is a really good kill.
And I love the final kill in Final Destination. I love the subway thing. Yes. And I love a lot of the characters in 3. I hate the weightlifting kill.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the getting crushed by the cherry picker.
Oh yeah.
And then also like I said on our last stocking stuffer, or was it our last mainline, the Lake Alice episode. I fucking hate Mary Elizabeth Winstead in that movie. She's so fucking annoying.
No, I can definitely see that, because I was going to put 3 just right above 4 on mine.
I think I'd probably put 4 right there. I 4 has the big problem with the 3D CGI. Like, it's very clearly made for 3D.
Yeah.
And I think so that makes... That really does hurt 4. I do love the... racist who was going to burn the cross on the guy's lawn instead gets dragged behind his own gets lit on fire and dragged behind his own tow truck. That's great. I actually, even though like I said the CGI looks really bad, I love the dude getting hit by the high pressured oxygen tank. And then he gets his guts split out through the chain link fence. But I think my favorite kill is probably the butt suck.
That is a good one.
Also, the elevator kill is nothing to sneeze at. That was pretty solid.
True.
Then probably next for me would probably be 5. It's hard to put 5 well, that's the thing. I think it's probably 5. 5's solid. I like a lot of the cast, but the LASIK eye kill. But I think the big thing for 5 is the big twist ending where it's actually a prequel.
Yeah. No, I think I would agree with you. I'd probably put 5 next.
And then I think I'd put Bloodlines ahead of 5.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. And then I think I'd probably do 1, and then I'd do 2, because 2 is just the one that, like you said, traumatized an entire generation of people.
Well, 2 was the one I saw first, and so that's always kind of had a special place for me.
Also, a random shout out. What a thing I love about Final Destination 1 is that they don't make Sean William Scott kind of a ladies man. They make him a little bit more of a goofball.
Yeah.
And I love that this came out around the time I think this came out maybe after American Pie.
Something.
And so Stifler already existed.
Yeah.
And instead they went, no, we want you to be a little more reserved. We want you to be a little less cool. We want you to be a little bit more of a goof. Who's maybe a little bit awkward. He's very emotional in that movie. And I'm like, that might be my favorite Sean William Scott role, which is tough because Role Models does exist, but
that's true.
But he's great. He's great in that. It's just his big monologue right before he gets killed by the flying debris from the train, where he's like, ha, joke's on you. I win. And then he gets his head cut off. But he's great in that. I there's a moment where he's goes up and talks to, Alex, and he's kind of he's sad, and it's just a very emotional scene, and I kind of enjoyed that bit as well.
No, I think we mostly align on our rankings. Just whether you prefer 3 or 4 or more seems to be the difference.
Yep. And that's the thing. I think 4 is more one of I think 4 is if given an opportunity to rewatch, I might rewatch 4 more than I might rewatch some of the others. But that doesn't necessarily, but I don't think it's one of the better ones, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean.
I think kind of there's just so many fun, interesting kind of wrinkles for me for 4, where I'm like, I'd watch 4 again.
I will give 4 that there is more going on in it than the average one.
Also, one thing I do hate about 2 is I hate the for whatever reason, it always bugged me, the, oh man, anybody else seeing a man with hooks for hands?
Oh yeah.
I don't know why that line. The hook hand kill is great. I love the head getting decapitated in the elevator door. But just the way the guy says the line, always, like, I'm like, what a stupid line. Like, what a dumb line.
Yeah. There's a few handful of those in the series, but yeah, that one might be the top.
And I don't know why it bugs me so much, but I bring it up to my wife all the time. I'm like, I hate that line, and I don't know why.
We'll find out.
But yeah, another movie I think we both saw was about a clown in a cornfield.
Oh boy. There's clowns out there in them cornfields.
Yeah, watch it. Who keeps putting all these clowns in this cornfield?
What are them clowns?
Kind of your basic slasher. Girl moves to a small town. Makes friends almost instantly, which I thought was... Well,
it's based on a YA novel.
My wife's read all three of them.
Yeah.
So I knew the twist going in because she had told... I kind of knew the reveal going in because she told me. So I didn't need to get... Like, nothing really caught me off guard storyline-wise.
What caught me off guard? Somebody being named Rust. You named your kid Rust?
Rust might be my favorite character. He was great.
The boy a name.
But it's a bunch of kids having, like, you know, they're living a small town. They're trying to find ways to have fun.
They're zooming.
Yep. And they make TikTok videos of, of this killer clown, the Bay Pen corn syrup.
What's that?
Clown.
What is that damn company?
Friendo called? The Clown.
He's Friendo the Clown.
They make videos of him being like a serial killer, kind of like little slasher movies. And then it turns out that there actually is a Friendo the Clown out there, and he does start killing these teenagers.
Yes. Yes, he does. And I would say some of the effects look pretty good, and then some of them were kind of like... It's like two different people do the effects on this movie, or what happened?
There were things that, I think it was only made for like $1 million or something like that. It wasn't big budget.
It was pretty low budget. Of course, I mean, you can get away with that when you're not paying big name actors to do this.
What? You mean Will Sasso's not a big named actor, Jeff?
Oh, I apologize to Will Sasso and his three fans.
Mad TV's Will Sasso.
No, he's huge. He's huge. Can't stop hearing about Will Sasso.
I had a big smile. I was like, oh my, they got Will Sasso. as though that was,
he was available, Jay. I know.
As though that were a feat.
I can't believe it.
But every time he was on screen, I got a big smile.
Next, you're going to tell me they were able to lock down Dylan McDermott.
Did they?
No.
What about Dermot Mulroney?
They probably could have.
But the kills start, the bodies start piling up.
Oh, they're piling.
You get a great scene where, like, Friendo, you know, emerges from the cornfield. The clown is in the cornfield.
Repeat, the clown is in the corn.
And, murders a couple kids. And you get this, kind of great scene with that. And, like, there's a big party going on, but the other kids, like, lock them out because they don't want to get killed by the clowns.
I use my patented Friendo chainsaw.
But then the line, I think there was one line that just made me roll my eyes so hard that, like, my neck snapped, was the, that's a lot of Friendos.
Yes. Yeah.
I was just like, oh geez, and not only was it like kind of a dumb, bad line, the delivery was also not great, which was a shame because otherwise I thought the actress, the lead actress was great. But that one line, I was just like, oh my God.
She does a lot of what I call 80s action heroing, where she says one-liners to no one in particular. Like when she's trying to escape from a crowd of Friendos and she's like, when your dad tries to teach you how to drive stick, you say yes. And I'm like, one, that's way too long to be a one-liner. Two, who are you talking to? Are you talking to Friendo?
It was VH having a monologue.
Exactly. That's exactly what when you said that in that review, it reminded me of this.
But overall,
this was not made for you and me. This was made for teenagers experiencing their first slasher movie.
And I think that is my one complaint, is because this was made for a YA audience and the movie was not rated PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
I think that hurt. I think that's gonna hurt the people who should be seeing this movie. The people this movie was made for.
Was it not PG-13?
I'm pretty sure it's rated R.
I thought it was PG-13, but I'm not sure.
I'm willing to stand corrected, but I thought it was rated R when I
Rated C for clowns.
Oh, God.
Why is this so hard to find?
Siri, what is clown in a cornfield rated?
Okay, I found this on the web for what is clown in a cornfield rated. Check it out.
Siri, none of that was helpful.
Where is the rating for this movie?
Hold on. All right, I'm gonna try one last thing. This is the riveting riveting stuff people tune into stocking stuffers for. All right, clown in a cornfield, rated R.
I don't think it needed to be.
Nope, it should have. I don't think it needed to be rated R. Two should have been rated PG-13.
I was gonna say there's nothing in this movie that made it rated R, so I don't understand why it would be.
Yep.
But yes, if that's the case, then that will hurt people trying to see it. Although, I don't know if kids out there these days are aware of this life hack, but if you order tickets online and go into the movie, nobody stops you.
Hey, all right. Man, that would have been so helpful when we were younger.
I know, right?
I don't know. I got kicked out of the 2002, 2003 remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Was allowed to buy tickets.
Oh, and then
got kicked out, and then they didn't refund my money.
See, they shouldn't be able to do that.
Yep. You guys were dumb enough to sell me the tickets.
But yeah, this was not intended. If you've seen a slasher movie before, you've seen Clown in a Cornfield.
Yep.
This is not really intended for like slasher fans. It's more intended to get people into the genre, which, I mean, it's good that those kind of movies exist, but it didn't really do a whole lot for me because I've seen this all before.
Yep. No, exactly. It didn't break any new ground, but it was fun. I had fun, and I think that's the most important thing.
I didn't like feel like I wanted to get up and walk out or anything like that.
Yep.
It was decent enough.
I didn't sigh a bunch and you know, think about question my own mortality and the hour and 7 minutes I wasted watching Krampus versus Bigfoot.
Did you ever ponder the flowers on top of cappuccinos, Jay? I have.
No, I actually legitimately had fun with this movie, and nothing groundbreaking, was never going to be the scariest movie of the year, and never had to be.
Yep.
It's
pretty, I mean, they did it on a tight budget, so I'm sure it's going to make money. They've got two built-in sequels they can do, although I will say that the second twist, because the first twist is that the main love interest is actually gay. Which, I don't know how much of a twist that is, but it was in there, and they treated it like a twist.
Yep. But then I loved everyone's reaction to the reveal. Oh,
now everything makes sense.
Now it all makes sense.
But no, the fact that his dad wants to kill him for possibly causing the death of his sister, then leaving him with no children living, that whole motivation kind of made me scratch my head.
Well, then the fact that, like, potentially they're trying to kill their entire town's generation.
New generation, yes.
Like
that whole the generational killing thing didn't really. It's like, so basically the town will end then, and no one will carry on your traditions,
right?
Which is ostensibly what you're worried about,
right? Very like very very strange motivation. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it is that same motivation
in the next couple ones. Okay, that's what I figured. But yeah, I mean, it's got built-in sequel potential, which I'm sure some fat cat in Hollywood's rubbing his hands together comically right now.
I think the second book, spoilers, if I remember what my wife told me correctly, the second book is the dad comes back.
Ah, okay.
And then the third book is the surviving kids basically trying to hunt down friendos that they weren't able to catch.
Well, I've heard that basically the book has better character development because it's a book.
Yep.
But the kills are more fun to see in a visual style. So it's like basically if you should do both. If you want to learn more about the characters, read the book. If you want to see the kills be rendered on screen, obviously watch the movie.
Also, I believe Sally Field is the mother of the director.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool.
But yeah, no, like I said, you could go see it and have fun, but don't expect it. This is not like a Terrifier or something like that.
She's all like, Bandit, da-da-da-da-da. Sorry, anyway.
Which is why I cannot fathom why this would be rated the same as Terrifier.
Right. No, that, yeah. That's kind these of exactly are, the like problem.
That's why the rating system really needs to be revamped, because these things are leagues apart. See, because what would happen was somebody like my parents would take me to something like this or whatever, you know, to make sure it was suitable for me. And they would see Clown in a Cornfield, then they'd be like, oh, okay, I guess these movies are okay for you to watch. And then I would watch Terrifier 3.
Yeah, they'll all... I know how much you like clowns. Here's a clown for you.
There's another killer clown movie for you. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
12-year-old Jeff's having nightmares now.
Jeff's peeing the couch again.
Oh, yes. Nightmare on Elm Street at 7. That was a real trip, Jay. Real trip.
We've all been there. I mean, not there specifically, but we've all had similar experiences.
We were all on there. No wonder that couch was so wet.
We all peed Jeff's couch that night.
God, you know, my dad being so pissed off throughout my childhood makes a lot more sense now. People are pissing on his couch constantly.
Anyways, if you want to get in touch with us, be a part of our Garbage Day segment, send us an email. Let us know your thoughts on Clown in a Cornfield or Final Destination Bloodlines. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We are all the places at Horror for Holidays. That's Horror, the number 4 Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up. Leave us comments. Let us know what you think. Hit the bell so you know when videos come out. Podcatchers, rate us 5 stars, say 0 stars if I could. Why do you guys even bother doing this show?
Tell a friend if you for whatever reason you do understand why we do this show and you think a friend would enjoy
there's
it.
There's gotta be somebody out there who understands.
And you know, a great time to jump on would be not now, but on a mainline episode. The next best time to jump on would either be during the Spooktacular or the upcoming Fat Boy Summer.
Oh, that's right, Jay. It's Fat Boy Summer. We're gonna be having fun. So is Fat Boy Summer July? We doing July?
I don't know. We'll fucking figure it out.
We gotta figure out what day we need to do Fat Boy Summer, Jay. What day does it start?
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that off the air. It's something to look forward to. That's all that really matters. Watch out for Fat Boy Summer.
Watch out for shirtless pics of the hosts incoming.
Uh-oh. But yeah, otherwise, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with... Hold on. We're going to wheel live on air.
Yes, here we go. Oh, and tune in to next Stocking Stuffer for my in-depth deep dive of the Bigfoot versus universe.
All right, cue apps open. Get out of my way, Mission Impossible.
Here we go.
And...
somehow it's Bigfoot versus Krampus again. What is it, Jay? The wheel punished you again, didn't it? Because you said that thing that I chastised you for. It made it worse, didn't it?
It is one hell of a Christmas. I don't know if you're going to be able to watch that. Hold on.
Oh, I'll find it.
Because I have a DVD copy. I don't know if there's another way to watch it.
We cannot subvert the will of the wheel, Jay. Nothing good happens. What's it called?
One Hell of a Christmas.
One Hell of a Christmas. Oh, boy.
It stars...
oh, boy, a 10%.
Tolo Montana and Thur Lindhar and Zlatko Burek.
Oh.
And Pat Kelman.
Well, you're just reading off all kinds of crazy
names. All these great famous actors. We can spin it again because I don't know if you have a way to watch this.
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube. Yeah, it looks like it's on YouTube.
All right, all 95 minutes of it?
Yep.
All right.
It's like 94 minutes, 36 seconds.
All right.
Oh, boy.
One hell of a Christmas. You heard it here first.
You did hear it here first.
Get excited. All right, well, see you next week.
But will you hear it here last?
the turds just keep on coming.
You did this, Jay. You mocked the wheel.
True, I did say... I don't think the wheel didn't punish us for Krampus versus Bigfoot. How could anything it gives us be worse? I don't know. And seeing some of the stuff in one hell of a Christmas, I don't know. That kind of looks fun. We'll see.
We'll find out.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
You did this to us.